It's Justine Sullivan here. I'm a yoga teacher, and today I'm going to be talking to Amy Poulton and Jamie Clark from the Yoga People about their forthcoming teacher training at Mission. They're going to be doing a Rocket and Yin teacher training in June of this year. So we're going to have a quick chat about the course, about what people can expect, and a little bit of history of the Rocket and why Yin supports Rocket.
Hi, Justine.
Do you want to just give me a little bit of an intro, who you are, what you do?
I teach Rocket Yoga here in London. I'm now at Mission Yoga. And I guess my connection, I practiced with Larry at It's Yoga in San Francisco for about 10 years, more or less 5 days a week since 2001.
Jamie, hello, how are you? And just brief intro, if you don't mind.
I'm a teacher. I was mentored by Larry in 2002 and worked with him until he jumped ship and left his body. So I worked with him for about a decade almost. And yeah, that's me. I'm a yoga teacher, amongst other things.
So you two have been doing a few teacher trainings together now for about 9 months, and you're going to be joining forces again in the summer for Rocket and Yin teacher training, which is taking place at the new yoga studio Mission. Both of you were directly mentored and trained by Rocket Yoga pioneer Larry Schultz. And Jamie, you were also mentored by Yin founder Paul Grilley. So I think for any teachers out there wanting to delve deeper into these two practices for a really true, authentic experience, what students are going to get, it doesn't get any better than this, does it?
Well, that's very kind of you, of course. But I, yeah, we bring together, I've been trained by Paul and Susie Grilley, for hundreds, I think it's into the thousands of hours with those guys and yin. So this particular mix of yin and yang is a balanced approach to an external and an internal appreciation of the yoga practice, and does some really very the perspective we're putting on this particular course, Rocket and Yin, is rather than how can Rocket support Yin, which is would be less obvious, how Yin can support Rocket, which is very like a very nice niche and powerful approach for dynamic yoga teachers to really understand how chi moves in through them and how anatomy is fundamental, how a sense of stillness while moving is really what Larry was talking about, and what the essence of Rocket, I would say, is all about. So really, yin really supports and boosts the yang practice. If you want to hold a handstand, meditate or do, which is the same as yin yoga, prior, your mind is much clearer. And so it really does support the Rocket practice.
I want to go further into that in a few moments. Amy, obviously, you were also trained by and mentored by Larry Schultz.
Hmm?
Yeah, I mean, what can students expect from this course? What are they going to get? I mean, I've read the blurb on the Mission website, and it says the emphasis will be given to the Rocket Yoga discipline.
Well, I think one of the things that I really like about working with Jamie is that we both like to emphasize kind of the fundamental elements. So definitely, we both want to see a clear understanding of the sequence and ability to practice and cue with the breath so that you're not just doing gymnastics and exercise. So, you know, Jamie and I both think that it's really important to, you know, do the real yoga, not just going through the motions. And this is how, you know, kind of the yin, one of the many ways does support the flowing practice is learning to develop attention to your experience instead of going on autopilot and just going through the motions. So I think the combination is going to be on, you know, practicing, being able to teach the Rocket, and definitely using the yin, I'm going to let Jamie speak on what the yin obviously is going to bring, but, you know, using the yin to inform your rocket practice as well.
I mean, I've only been teaching rocket for a couple of years, and I was obviously trained by you, Amy, a couple of times, and with Jamie, and I've trained with Amber Jean as well. So I've trained with direct students of Larry Schultz, and I feel that my rocket teaching is very classic rocket. I come from an Ashtanga background, and then I've gone into rocket, and I feel that's a very natural progression. But I have been to some rocket classes where I would actually say it was very hard to work out if it was rocket. You know, I didn't feel there's any structure. It felt more like a creative vinyasa class. So do you think is there a worry that rocket is actually being diluted down a little bit?
I'm not worried. Are you worried? I'm not worried.
That's what I was going to start off with is, no,
I'm not worried.
I don't take that the wrong way. I do give a shit, but I don't really give a shit. Meaning everything's going to get its interpretation, modification, and so forth. But really, things that are very, very groundbreaking and effective and practical and intelligent tend to have longevity. So I don't think maybe people will modify and create off of the three practices of rocket, but you'll always come back to rocket one, rocket two, and happy hour, rocket three. I mean, they've got their very, very different approaches to each practice, but they're very have a distinct purpose. And sure, you can play around with it. I think it's actually a complement to rocket to create from it. But when you can't really define it, as whether or recognize it, is that a rocket practice or wasn't that a rocket practice? Or are we just coming here to do practice acrobatics, or are we trying to move and breathe with a deeper or more universal intention? Yeah, that's all down to the teacher, isn't it? So for me, let it be so. And it'll come back to the fundamentals of what Larry was teaching. And, you know, that's the way Amy and myself present these courses in the classical approach to rocket. And then this one, we're bringing in a bit of the intelligence of yin to improve that.
The whole point of rocket two was twists and backbends, less focus on standing and legs. So if someone is teaching a rocket two class and yet there's a lot of standing and a lot of stuff on legs and you're almost cooking the glutes, isn't that missing the point of rocket two?
I think kind of what happens with teachers is out somewhere between the 5 to 8 year teaching mark, you get a little creative unnecessarily. And this is due to you realize you've got so much to say and you want to inspire people and say some really stuff, great creative stuff. And then you also get worried about boring people. And this is kind of that where you sort of the disconnect from the practice happens, I think, because one thing, Larry never worried about boring people. You know, we did the same thing over and over again. But I think the changing of the sequence does become a bit of an issue for studio owners, only in, I think it, I find it helpful to know what you're going to get into when you go into a class. That being said, like when I started teaching rocket in London in 2009, there were not enough strong people to do funky pincha or a chin stand. And I still don't do those poses. I think they're stupid, but other people want to do them, you know, press up handstand all day long. So I think, you know, definitely the rocket is designed to evolve with people, but there is an intelligent structure that at least when you're coming to the course with me and Jamie, we will be doing that structure for sure. And I think it's important, but do I worry about the teachers? No, I don't really think much about them at all in the most loving sort of a way.
I think worry was probably the wrong word then. It's more of I like to protect things that are, you know.
There's no need. I think that's what we're saying is that there's no need to protect it. And I think what I'm seeing a lot of in the rocket world is this feeling of like, we need to defend something and coming from a lot of different sides and there's no need. Just do the yoga, you know.
Do the yoga. Everything else will sort itself out. It's
all good. Yeah.
Okay. So what's so important about yin, Jamie? How does yin support rocket? I mean, nearly every single rocket teacher I know and nearly every single rocket student I know also has a very strong yin practice or they teach it as well. So is that because we like to get high on rocket and need the yin to come down, or is it more complicated than that?
Well, that's pretty complicated, Justine. I mean, we get high, we need to ground. Okay. That's one truth. That which goes up must come down. So, but that which is grounded can go up. Just like a strong oak tree. So you could use analogies like that, yin and yang balance. There's yin in yang and yang in yin, as you know, the Taoist philosophies recognize. So there's that. But why is yin an important part of a dynamic practice? Because anything that's too resides in what it too fundamentally in one energy has shadow aspects in the other. In other words, if we're too rigid with Rocket, then we start to move away from the essence of Rocket, which in its playful, creative, and accommodating way, as you contextualize it next to, say, such a practice like Ashtanga, classical Ashtanga, it's quite yin, because it's got that juicy, alive, uplifting flavor to it. So yin as well provides, as we know, holding postures for minutes at a time, goes into deeper tissue, the connective tissue, changes, adjusts, and modifies the structure of that tissue. Practice in the long term, we're not talking about just on do it in the short term, over time brings very much an elastic feeling to tissue that does need that type of these qualities to them, as well as opens up the channels within that deep tissue for energy. And energy is the charge of what we're using when we're practicing any practice. So it really clears the channels in order to practice.
I would like to add, because I've never, until working with Jamie, I'd never really witnessed kind of the interaction and effects on students of a yin practice with the Rocket. And like, it's visible. Like, I can visibly see a difference in the Rocket practices. And kind of in my mind, especially for people who maybe have not quite connected with the meditative aspect of Rocket yet, it is especially transformative for that group of people. Because if you're not doing the meditation and the breath in Rocket, it's overly electric. It's like wiring your house without the earth wire. And so coming into that yin first really helps people to bring their mind all the way like into their body, so that the Rocket practice, like, and it's really hard for me to put my finger on what I witnessed, but I can literally see a transformation in the Rocket practice post yin.
Well, I ask the students every time. I said, you've been practicing Rocket a while. You've now done, we've done 20 minutes of yin or half an hour of yin before Rocket. How did your Rocket practice go? And everybody was like, it was amazing. There's something I deeply felt that I had either concentration or awareness or energy or a sense of fluidity. Something is added to it.
You know, when you're driving a car and you accidentally press the sport button on your car, you know, I couldn't believe the body I was practicing in. It was like someone had just put a 20 years younger body inside of me. Yeah, it felt like I had a completely different body. So, yeah, I mean, I felt a very physical, I felt charged.
When yang dances with yin compatibly, in any analogy, that's where you've got your pinnacle, your optimal. Just think of a great relationship. When it's working well, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
When it's out of balance, it's very painful. So, yeah, I think that I also don't think this is some wild modification off Larry, what Larry was teaching. I always bring it back to say, no, Larry was actually very much an intuitive teacher, a teacher that would actually feel, and he felt, let's talk about anatomy for a moment. He felt the rigid Ashtanga practice didn't suit his anatomy. And he modified, there was one of the reasons why he created the Rocket sequence. So in another way, yin, practicing yin, allows the student to understand their structure and then can really tune into the wisdom of Larry and be like, ah, this is why Larry used to say mixed levels, or it's an inclusive practice, or everybody gets to do what they want to do. You feel the practice in your body. This is what Larry was teaching.
So I think when I said, are we worried about it being diluted? I think this is what I'm talking about, Jamie, as in why Larry put the structures together, because he came from that background of Ashtanga where he was bored of being told he was doing stuff wrong and you'll never get there. And I've gone through the same journey myself. You know, you're not strong enough. You're not doing it correctly. You need. And then when I stumbled across the rocket, it was like a very enlightening experience. And I found the rocket incredibly healing. And I get the philosophy and I see where he came from. And I could physically relate to that, mentally relate to it. And, you know, I've heard you before saying that he was a pioneer ahead of his time and stuff, because through the yin, you get to understand more about your body type, your physical structure, your physical limitations, as well as your emotional limitations. That's precisely why Larry put the rocket sequence together, because it was a healing practice which worked for most people's bodies. I tried to tell people it's more than a physical practice. Why not Ashtanga in yin then, Jamie? Why not Vinyasa in yin? Why rocket in yin? Is it because of Larry Schultz's function over form philosophy?
You could do Ashtanga in yin. You could. I think it would do well with it, because one of Ashtanga's blind spots is that it is so doctrinaire or overstructured, or the pose needs to be accomplished before you take the next pose. As was tradition, I don't think it's taught that way now. But you could do, but I just think there's a nice overlap with the playful essence of rocket and the intelligence of yin. And I just think it goes to better, it goes dances better together. I wouldn't say it has to be rocket and yin, but really understanding structure, energy, a sense of letting go, a sense of stillness. Those are all qualities you get from yin, and understanding how they can support a yang practice. And you'll feel it. Then you'll really understand how the both energies really, when they're dancing together, really support each other. And of course, yin's a bridge into meditation, but we need a strong, robust, agile body in yang. So yeah, it's a very nice marriage together, those two.
And I suppose with yin, as you always say, it's not about what the pose looks like.
Yes.
It feels where you
feel. Interiorization. If you're feeling your structure, if you're feeling your experience, if you're feeling this energy within you, which is the direction that Larry came, rather than being embedded in, I must do primary and second series and da 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 of Ashtanga, feel the practice. Now it's an interiorization, which if you look at you go into all the Vedas or the Upanishads, this is what it's talking about, the yoga practice. Going inwards, an interiorization as a yoga practice. That's what happens. Everybody tunes in. The whole energy, which would be scattered outwards in a practice, now internalizes, and you feel the quietening of the room. And Larry used to say, you should barely hear your practice as you move through it, barely touching the mat. Shum, 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 shum. Yeah. Very, like martial arts. It's like, so.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very beautiful, I think very beautiful healing practice. As you've pointed out on your training courses, Larry didn't have what people would call a beautiful looking practice. And when you practice yin, it's really more about where you feel it in the pose. And I suppose that's also where it is in rocket. No one's telling you.
Are you always really focused on what is yoga? What is the purpose of yoga? Are you here to, like, you know, I kind of would have liked him to see the Instagram age just to hear him like really comment on that. But you know, he definitely tapped into like what's going on underneath. And I think that's what the yin brings the awareness to, is the underneath.
Jamie, you've done thousands of hours of anatomy training, and you also include lots and lots of it in every single one of your teacher trainings. Are you going to be doing anatomy on this course?
Little bit. Enough. Enough being where we're starting to really allow students to understand that the fundamental joints of the hips, the shoulders, really do have an impact on a practical and restrictive and sometimes unrestricted impact on a practice, actual what they can do and what they cannot do. Practice all is coming in a very realistic way is not true in terms of forcing against joint ranges you don't have. Students need to know this. Teachers must know this.
And they also need to be reminded that that's not the point, you know, that it's the feeling. So even when you're going into Hanumanasana, like the front splits, you're not, you know, getting yourself into a position that's flat on the ground is not necessarily the goal. It's the extension through the front hamstring, the back groin, the, you know, it's the experience of what you're doing, not the form so much. So
if you chase form, you're liable to chase and cross boundaries with your own body. This is what Larry would say. No one's telling me what to do.
You're also liable not to show up. If you're addicted to the form, then you'll have an injury and then you'll be like, oh, I can't do yoga because I can't do my chaturanga or a handstand. You'll just quit.
Yeah, it's rarely does yoga injure people. People injure themselves in yoga.
Yes, they do.
This is why I love the Rocket so much, because I was so upset and so triggered by people in other forms of yoga telling me that I need to do this or do that with my arms and physically couldn't do it. And, you know, when I teach and people do, you know, full, you know, front splits, I say to the ones that are flat on the ground, pull it back 2 or 3 inches. Don't just hang out in your joints. You know, not about what it looks like. Bring it back, engage. What else can students expect on this course? We've got the Yoga Sutras, Yoga Philosophy, pattern work. What else is going on?
Well, their pattern work, they'll work with their archetypal patterns of behavior around, you know, primary caregivers, mum and dad stuff. This is intros them into some pretty fundamental archetypal work, as well as starting to look at how they modified their behaviors to survive or to try and get love at home. And this is really informs how we orientate ourselves in our lives. There's that. It can be very triggering, but usually if we use the practice, we express what comes up, it rides well with this course. And it's an intro, so it's nothing too dramatic and overwhelming. Yeah, I would say anatomy, pattern work, the Rocket. I would say fundamentally come out, you feel like a strong you, you can really go out and teach Rocket as a teacher.
And for sure, practice it. I mean, that's definitely a self-practice, I think, is something I know I will be encouraging. We'll practice a lot together. And I think it's just fun. I mean, what comes up in addition does really depend a lot on the group. And it's one of the fun things that's so about working with Jamie is the years of experience. So you can, there's always a lot of surprises, I find, like good ones.
You two are yin and yang.
Yeah. We've called ourselves a strange brew when we started, as if to say it's kind of like a mixture of a similar background in a slightly different perspective that comes together in balance compatibly. I think it looks at teaching and practicing a little deeper. So if you're ready for that and you really want to also be strong in fundamentals of how it was taught by Larry, you know, I don't know too many teachers out there that are teaching it strictly from the lens of Larry, myself and Amy will offer that.
Yeah, I mean, other than I think it's a really special training. But just to add, obviously, I do. I feel really excited about the space as well. Mission is a gorgeous space, and I, as a 49-year-old, I feel like I'm 27 every time I get there.
Anything else to mention? Is there an early bird with this training?
There is. Let's have a look. I'll go and look it up. There is an early bird. The early bird completes or finishes on the 7th of June. So if you want to get £150 reduced from the price, it's 7th of June. Put some skin in the game and you can enjoy that deduction. Yeah. So.
And is our, another question people might have is, do you have to have a 200-hour training to come to this training?
It's helpful, of course, but I don't think we're going to be like bouncing people at the door because of that. Depends on a case by case basis. It's not usually people too many people, but some do come. They're rocket practitioners. 200 hours is helpful, but I wouldn't say it excludes them. No, strong rocket practice.
I would agree on that one 100%. And then I had one of my students asked if the fact that he could not do a handstand away from the wall was going to be a problem. So I would like to say that definitely that's not a problem. So whether or not you can or cannot perform the tricks is not a problem. But I agree with you. It's very helpful to have that 200-hour training. Any kind of Ashtanga background also informs the practice and is useful. But I agree, rockets for everybody.
Yes, it is. We'll be going through a lot of tools and techniques and looking at those techniques that will develop a practice from moving away from the wall as one example. So yeah, open to the possibility to really transform on all layers.
Brilliant. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat about this amazing teacher training. Thank you, Jamie. And thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.